That was called the Sunscreen Song. It's 20 years ago since that was number one. It's the start of a spoken word piece. The music kicks in a minute. It's by a guy called Baz Luhrmann, who is an Australian film director and producer. And what he did in that track, which most of which you didn't hear, he took an essay from a writer in the Chicago Tribune called Mary Schmick. I'm not sure that's the correct pronunciation, but I'll go with it. And her essay was these little snippets of advice on how to live a happier and less frustrating life. These were words, she said, that had no basis other than her own meandering experience, including the merits of wearing sunscreen. But when I heard that, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is just an amazing thing. Check it out on YouTube at some point when you get home. It's just brilliant. Listen to some of the advice she gave. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Floss. Don't mess too much with your hair. By the time you're 40, it will look 85. Really important one in today's climate. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise, politicians will philander, you too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Do one thing every day that scares you. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly. And then she finishes with this. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is fishing the past from the waste disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. Quite salutary for those of us who are keen to give our advice. So are you the kind of person who looks for advice? Do you seek advice? Do you look for direction in your life? It's a massive generalization, it's a huge stereotype, but apparently men don't like asking for directions. Have you heard that? Is that true? Now, obviously, that was emphatic from Judy over there. Obviously, with GPS and Google Maps and all this kind of stuff, you know, we're getting a bit better at finding our way to places. But some research from an insurance company with the true name of Sheila's Wheels, they did some research and they found that on average, men clock up a huge 276 miles a year aimlessly driving around lost, rather than stopping for directions. I find that really hard to believe. That is a huge, that's like a whole tank of petrol, basically. Apparently women, it's around about 256 miles. A quarter of men, according to their research, wait at least half an hour before asking for directions. A stubborn 12% refuse to ask for directions at all. I wonder where you fall in that category. As you can see, we're looking at this over these 5 weeks in September. We're talking about what it means to be guided by God, to think like a Christian, to use our brains. And we've talked about how the scriptures are the place we go to. We come under God's word, the compelling scriptures, to be guided by God. Last week, Bev talked about the witness of the Spirit to his still small voice into our lives. And today we're talking about the third CS, which is called the Council of the Saints. The Council of the Saints, that God wants to guide us through one another. And when I say saints, I don't mean some uniquely pious disciple, some amazing individual who's immortalized in stained glass. I'm talking about the person next to you who's a follower of Jesus. That is what the Bible calls the saints. That's how Paul, when he writes to the different churches, addresses them as saints. If you are in Christ, you are a saint. get used to that identity. How does God guide us through one another is what we'll be looking at today. Are we the kind of person that's like a lost driver? Are we unwilling to ask for direction? No, I'm not going to go there. You know, I'm in that 12%. I'm stubborn. I'm not going to turn to anyone else to feed wisdom into my life. We live in an age where the individual rules. We're autonomous and it's all about me. And yet, the gift of God is that we join his people, the church, the Christian community. And he invites us into deep relationship with each other if we will go there. That we may be the means, a means by which God may speak to us and lead us. When I was in my early 20s, I was just starting on my career, and I was doing social work, and it was going quite well, and I'd just been offered my first position on management, and it was looking really good. And whilst I was doing that, I was serving in my church voluntarily doing youth work, and it was a really small church, really fledgling little ministry that was happening. It was really exciting, and I just sensed that maybe God might be saying to me, I want you to go and do that for your career, your vocation. And we had a person working with us in our church, working with an organization called Youth for Christ, and I thought, okay, that may be the way for me to go. So I went to chat to the vicar of the church, and I said, you know, what do you think about this? You know, it would mean basically going from earning a salary, not a huge salary, but actually paying to be trained, and you know, losing my car and all this kind of stuff. And he just said to me, find three people who are wiser than you to meet together with you and to talk it over and to pray. And I looked high and low for three people who were wiser than me. And eventually I found them. And three people I didn't know particularly well, and they came to my house where I'm still living at home, and for a number of months we just talked and they prayed for me, and it felt like, okay, yeah, we actually sensed this may be the right thing. And so I applied, I got on, and essentially the direction of my life changed from that moment on. It's really important, according to the scriptures, that we are open to the advice and the input of other people. Solomon is mentioned in this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, and just listen to what Solomon, who we think wrote much of the book of Proverbs, listen to some of his proverbs about this subject. He says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. He says, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. And so today we're going to just think for a while just about what does it mean for us to be open to the idea that actually the people around us, the people in our church family or other Christian brothers and sisters, may be a vehicle by which God may speak to us. And we're going to use this passage in 1 Kings 11 and 12, which Donald read to us, page 327. It would be great if you could have that open in front of you. So the context here is that Solomon has just come to the end of his life. He'd started out as a really good king. He's famous for his wisdom. But in his later years, his heart turned away from God, mainly through the fact that he married so many foreign wives who led him astray. And because of that unfaithfulness, God said that when Solomon died, and you can read this in chapter 11, I think it is, that when he died, that his son, Rehoboam, would not be king over the whole nation, but he would only have a small portion of the kingdom to be king of. And that one of Solomon's advisors, called Jeroboam, would become the king of most of the nation, of the 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so we know that Solomon set out to kill Jeroboam. He wanted to foil this idea that God had. And so Jeroboam fled to Egypt. We see that's referred to in chapter 12 until Solomon died. And then we pick up the story. Rehoboam's come. He's going to be crowned king. And then suddenly Jeroboam comes back from Egypt, away from exile, comes back as the pretender in this whole story. And he becomes a spokesman for many of the people. And so in this chapter, Jeroboam lays before Rehoboam the situation and the concerns of the people. Verse 4, he says, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke that he placed on us, and we will serve you." If you don't know, the yoke was the bar that the oxen typically would have when they plowed the field. And the metaphor is that, you know, Solomon, your daddy's just placed this really heavy burden on us, and we can't cope with it. We can't live like that. And you need to lighten us. You're not being fair. You're meant to be a kind king. You're meant to be a good shepherd of your people. That's what Solomon was meant to be, and by the end, he became their slave driver. He was an oppressive, tough king. He put 30,000 people into hard labor to build the temple. He oppressed them with a really heavy taxation. The yoke was heavy, and Jeroboam comes and says, "Can you cut us some slack, please? You're meant to be kind to us. Your father wasn't, will you be?" And so what Rehoboam does, he sends them away, and he says, "Come back in 3 days. Time is short. This is a really important decision. It will affect the direction of his life. It will affect the direction of the nation." And first, let's just notice what he doesn't do. It's not clear that he doesn't do this, if you see what I mean. We don't see Rehoboam pray. Rehoboam doesn't seem to come to God about this situation. To the Lord, he cried out to God for help. Maybe he went to a priest or a prophet to intercede for him on his behalf and come to the Lord and, you know, "What shall I do?" We don't see Rehoboam doing that. Really important when we're looking for guidance. Well, actually, as we've heard, we have complete access to the Father. We can come to God and say, "Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. Can you help me?" We don't have to go through someone else. What he does do is ask for advice, and he starts out so well. He seeks wisdom. And he went to the elders of the nation, and he asked for their counsel. Rehoboam took counsel with the older men, verse 6, who'd attended his father Solomon while he was still alive, and he said, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" That seems like a pretty good idea. These were advisors that had walked alongside Solomon. They'd helped steer him, and they'd probably potentially held their head in their hands when Solomon went the wrong way. They were people who knew the Lord. And they answered him, "If you'll be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever." Really good advice. If you just listen to them, if you follow, actually what they're saying sounds appropriate and right and just, they're going to be your people and they will serve you forever. And when we're looking for advice, it makes sense. When we're looking for guidance, it makes sense to ask people who've already been there, who know something of what we're going through. Maybe they've had to make similar decisions to the one that we're faced with. And so for us, if we're wanting to know how to walk with God through the tough times and the difficult times, it makes sense to ask someone who's a follower of Jesus, who has stayed on the path. We can learn from people like that. If you want to know how to stay married and work through some differences with your spouse, it probably makes sense to talk to a couple who've been married. It will just bring a whole new level of experience to that situation. If you want to know the secret to raising children, if you're struggling with parenthood, look to people who've gone through that journey, and you see their children look relatively normal and they've come through. They're walking with God and they're well-adjusted. I could learn something from those parents. If you're facing some health scare or you're bringing up children who've got additional needs or you're living in that tension, which I know a number of people are living in, where they're in these middle years where they've got an elderly parent and then they've got grandchildren, and you're kind of, you know, you're pulled in all these kinds of directions. You know, who's going through that? Who's gone through that? Who I could just get some advice from about how to do that. And one of the amazing blessings of God is that he's given us his church, his people, to help us. There's a good chance that there are people in this community who in some way can help you with what you face. I can't guarantee that, but I'm pretty confident of that. So seek wisdom. Look for people who know God well and who are where you would like to be in life and faith. Just one quick aside, and this is just partly a bugbear of mine. If someone comes to you like that, and you're the person who's the counselor, you know, you're the person who, someone's coming to you for advice, can I just ask you, please just listen to the people. Don't be too quick to, oh yeah, I know exactly what you're going through. Oh, when I had cancer, da-da-da-da-da. They've come to you primarily just to listen. And there may be something from your experience that you can offer, I'm sure. But primarily, they just want to be heard and probably to be prayed for. Your experience may be similar, but it won't be exactly the same. So be quick to listen and slow to speak. So we seek wisdom when we're looking for guidance. Secondly, choose people who have nothing to lose when you look for guidance. And this is where Rehoboam got it so wrong. He rejected the wisdom of the elders. And just hear this first of all. Just because someone is old doesn't mean they're going to be wise. Okay, I just do want to put that out there. Okay, so just because someone is old doesn't mean they're going to be wise. So we still need to choose carefully. But he disregarded, the scripture says, he disregarded the advice of the elders. And he went to the young men who he'd grown up with and who were serving him. These guys were like his entourage. These were his posse who were, you know, they were hanging with him and they were there with him and they had so much invested in him being their king and the kind of king that he would be. They had position, they had power, they had authority just because they knew Rehoboam. They don't want him to become a servant leader who puts other people first. They've got so much at stake. People have a hard time being objective if they've got something to lose. And you know, sometimes our best friends can be great sounding boards and advisors, but sometimes they can just agree with the predetermined idea that we've got in our head as to what we should do. It could be that God is calling some of us to do something crazy. And that's going to impact on our friendship. It might mean that we move city or move country, and maybe our friend has got so much tied up in our friendship that they're not the best person to go to because they've got so much to lose. We obviously need to be discerning about that. If you're facing what feels like a big decision and you need God's direction, I urge you to get advice from more than one person, including some people who know you well. And this summer, I've been really preoccupied by a particular decision that I've had to make. And I felt really conflicted in this decision. I can see some of the exciting possibilities that might be from it, but I've also had some huge reservations and questions about it. And it weighed really heavily on me. It was a big decision for me. And when you're in that situation, I couldn't help but talk about it with people. It just became almost like the biggest thing in my mind. And so obviously I would talk to the person who knows me best, which is Sophia. But I talked to other people as well. I talked to my prayer triplet, asked them to pray for me. I talked to my parents who are godly, lovely people. I went to New Wine this summer, a big Christian conference, and I'm able to go into what's called the Leaders' Lounge. And in the Leaders' Lounge, you see a whole bunch of people that you kind of know a little bit, but not really well. People I was at Bible college with. And it just came up in, I probably had six conversations over the course of that week. You know, this is the situation I'm facing. How did you handle this when you were in my position? Loads of different people. And then last week, I made the decision. You're wondering what this decision is, aren't you? I'm not telling you. Last week I made a decision, and I made what I think probably was the harder decision. It wasn't without cost, but as soon as I'd made that decision, I felt a huge sense of peace. Oh, thank goodness. So get a whole range of options from all kinds of different people, but here's the thing, and it's really important. You're responsible for the decision you make. Rehoboam couldn't just blame his mates and say, well, they told me what to do, and, you know, I just went along with it. He made the decision. And it was a really bad decision. If you read on in the story, and we heard some of it, as a result of that decision, the kingdom was divided. It's at the writer actually says this is what God said would happen. And you can read how through the prophet he said that would happen. It was a bad decision. But it was Rehoboam who made the decision. I can't blame Sophia or my prayer triplet or these random vicars that I know for the decision I've made. It was my decision. And I take and have to take responsibility for it and any consequences that come from it. Finally, and we're coming into land. When we're seeking to be guided by God and to look for advice and counsel from other people, listen. We don't just ask people because we want them to reinforce the decision that we've already made, I would suggest. Nor do we want them to make the decision for us, but because we want to hear God's voice through them. And for that person, for them to help us know more of God's will for us. It doesn't mean that we take what they say as God's word, but we come with an openness to hear God guiding us through them. So the Christian life is often portrayed as a journey, isn't it? And that's maybe a metaphor that we sometimes overuse, but it's a journey that is never meant to be traveled alone. First and foremost, we walk the journey with Jesus. And I love that picture of Jesus on the road to Emmaus after he's risen and he's walking on the journey with his two friends, them unknowing that this is who was walking with them. And if you're facing some kind of crossroads or uncertainty, may you know that Jesus is walking with you today on the road. But may you also know that you are not alone because you are part of the family of God. That you have brothers and sisters in Christ who want to walk with you. If we can be open to that and the opportunity that that gives us and the gift that that can be, God can use the person that sat next to you or the person in your life group. That's why we keep banging on about life groups. That is the best place for some of this stuff to happen. Another trusted friend. God can use. So may we be open not to make the journey on our own, but to be led by God and relating closely with one another. Shall we stand together? And we're going to just pray for a minute, and then we'll sing. Maybe for some of us today, this is right where we are. We are at that crossroads. It could be about anything, I don't know. It could be about joining a church. It could be about God calling us to a different vocation. It could be about the person we spend the rest of our life with. It could be a significant decision. It could be what others may seem is quite a small decision. But actually, and if that is you, let's just hold that before God. And for the rest of us who maybe aren't in that place, maybe we can be open to the idea that God may want to use us. Again, in our jars of clayness, our broken, crackedness. But ready to be a vessel by which God may use us to be a blessing for someone else. So loving God, come and meet us right where we are now, in the reality of our life. Come, Holy Spirit, and lead us. Come and guide us. Come and speak to us. Come and reassure us that you will take us through whatever we face right now. Come and reassure us that you walk alongside us, that you've placed us in a family. And would you deepen amongst us as your people here at Holy Trinity that sense of community, of commitment to one another, to humbly and gently and graciously serve one another. That you would guide us and lead us into your good and pleasing and perfect will.